You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, the government made an announcement that social services and community groups will get $27 million to continue providing services as New Zealand begins its lockdown, or rāhui. Up to $16 million will go to supporting people at risk through uncertain circumstances and respond to increased demand. $6 million will go to disability community participation providers and $4.8 million to community-led solutions to support local resilience. Solutions are to alleviate the spread, help fight back against COVID-19 and flatten the curve so doctors and health professionals can provide for those in desperate need. One such solution is coming out of the University of Otago, hand sanitizer produced in-house and in record time by the School of Pharmacy senior lecturer and his team of research students. 100 litres of hand sanitizer were produced over 3 long days in 6 batches, distributed across campus. The excess sanitizer has been made available to Dunedin Public Hospital and Civil Defence Forces at a time of national shortage. I spoke with Dr. Shyamal Das, the senior lecturer behind the initiative. He specialises in respiratory drug delivery around lung diseases and infections and hopes to continue his work in helping this pandemic. We start with how they manufactured the solution.
Yeah, this is an ethanol-based simple solution, and at present, I followed the World Health Organization formula. They have this formula developed and already in their website. So at present, they claim alcohol-based hand drops are the only known means for rapidly and effectively inactivating a wide range of potentially harmful microorganisms on hands. So it is it has advantage of fast acting and it broad spectrum and microbicidal activity can kill a wide range of microorganisms with a minimum risk of generating a resistance to antimicrobial agents. So this World Health Organization actually did all this background work, and they ultimately suggested this because in this sort of natural crisis, especially where it is difficult to find new and difficult to if there is an urgent need.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're at a shortage at the moment, so the work that you and your team has done is really impressive. It was around 100 litres, I believe, of sanitizer was produced over these 3 days and 6 batches. Can you tell me about when this process started? Tell me about the lead up to the moment you started making this ethanol-based hand rub.
Okay. Well, if I tell you a little bit background, I was brought up in Bangladesh, mm-hmm. and I studied pharmacy there, and I was a lecturer at university in Bangladesh. During my studentship and my job, I used to do a lot of volunteering in the natural crisis in Bangladesh. You know, Bangladesh has often floods or other natural, like a cyclone, these sort of calamities.
Yeah.
So it is sort of like our culture. And I was involved with Rotary Club and other community organizations, including Pharmacy Student Association. So we used to form small groups to help the community in those sort of disasters. So this time, when COVID started, I desperately felt that I should do something in this humanitarian emergency. And encouragingly, there are 2 companies contacting me to help them to develop their inhalers for COVID. So, and then when I was talking to them, I found that it is good. I can contribute. But what's the immediate need at the time? I went to last week I went to Dunedin, at least 5 shops to buy a hand sanitizer that I could not find any.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, okay, if it is not there, that it is an essential thing. Everyone is talking that we need a good hand hygiene. So how can, if there is no hand sanitizer, how can the people maintain the hygiene? So, because in COVID, you know, the first thing is to maintain the physical distance, and then the second thing is maintain the hygiene. So I came to the department, and I did a little search, and I found that, okay, we can do it by ourselves. And then I talked to my students. That one student is also from Bangladesh. I talked to him, and we found that there are other some other people in Bangladesh also started producing hand drops. And I talked to other students. One is a local student, Nicole. He also volunteers in different organizations here.
Okay.
So all my students become excited, or they want to do it. But the problem was, I need money. I talked to my dean on Thursday afternoon, last Thursday afternoon. My dean, his name is Professor Carlo Mera. So he generously agreed immediately. He understood that it's a good thing. And he said he's going to give me money to do that. So it was a key, because if I did not have that money, I could not do it in that large scale. I could do what I said, that if I, like my plan, initial plan was just to, if I'll make like a 5-10 liters and to be supporting to the people in this school or anyone need around. But when he gave the money, I said, okay, I can make it in a large scale. On Friday afternoon, he sent me an email that, he's approving this, and he gave me a code number to use that to buy that, and I ordered for 20 liter. Initial plan was we'll make 20 liter, and if it goes well, then I will make more. We are thinking that we could work until this end of this week. But on Monday, when the Prime Minister declared that lockdown within 48 hours. It was like it changed everything, like it quickened our We have to do it very quickly. Now, through communication, Monday, before the Prime Minister declared, we understood that the university actually need a lot. The university is looking for that. I also understood that the DSB and also is looking for that. So that gave me like, okay, if they need and if I can help in this moment, I will feel happy. And my all, I said to my students, and all thought that, oh, they also want to do, like they want to contribute in this great cause. After the Prime Minister declaration, so we had to make a quick plan that before the school shut down, we should start. We should finish our work. And we, that was our plan. That's the way we came, right?
Well, it sounds like, I believe you delivered that just in time for all of that. And once again, I take my hat off to your work. I mean, it was you and a team of six students, as you mentioned, from the University of Otago, who helped produce the sanitizer. They volunteered time towards these efforts. Were there any risks involved with this process?
Thank you. You asked me this. Yes, six students. I need to clarify. The five of them are my PhD students. I supervise them and directly primary supervisor. And the honor student, I am the only supervisor for her. So six of my research students. They are highly, like they have done all the health and safety measures for the university when they started the work in the university. So they know the health and safety procedure. But for COVID, obviously, this was a concern, because we were started practicing the physical distance before we started this one. So we were maintaining that. Now, during this work, I strictly followed that. I strictly said, okay, we use a big lab where normally 50 students do their lab. We use that big room to prepare only 6 people worked. So we maintained the physical distance. That was very important.
Mm.
And as you know, students are my babies. So my concern is to help protect them. Although all my students and myself, everyone was excited to help. Because, you know, people who work in, who volunteer in crisis, they are like a safety concern becomes second priority to them.
Mm.
I know from my experience, but I wanted to make sure that we don't compromise with the safety as at this moment as we know what we need to do. Right?
Mm.
So that was my first priority, to maintain the safety measure.
Yeah, well, it's really good, and of course,
but at the
I'm
same
sure.
time, yeah, at
yeah.
the same time, we wanted to finish the work. That was our concern, definitely. But hopefully, everyone is fine, because from during this work, we did not do anything, so we compromised the safety.
Mm, that's really good. Of course, I'm sure the concerns, they ramped up with those 48 hours. Around the escalating crisis. But it's really good to hear, of course, the precautions that was taken. And, of course, we should be taking these precautions every day with this virus. Leading into another question now, the School of Pharmacy's doors are all closed. Luckily, the sanitizer was all made. And distributed. How was that hand sanitizer distributed?
Well, on last Tuesday, I already prepared around 150 bottles, small bottles, which contain around 100 ml or less, because that was a crisis. We wanted to make 200 ml bottles initially, but and my students went to find out. On Friday, they checked there was some. And then on Monday, when they went, they did not find any 200 ml bottles. So they managed at least three, four shops, they managed only 100 ml bottle, around 150. So I prepared them. And then by Tuesday, I sent an email to all my colleagues in the department. If they need, they can, and students, if they need, they can collect one from the lab where we kept all this. So we were not physically distributing. They came one or two, and then they collect one. So there was no a gathering there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On Wednesday morning, again, we put in a box. This time, not in the department. We just put in the outside the department, and we found that several of our students also came at different times and took one or two, whatever they like. The main thing is we directly from the university's emergency services, we contacted before that this is the delivery time we want to give, and they came. 100 liters directly we gave to them. That's in a bulk, 2.5 ml container. We gave them. Now, what they will do, they will be using this in the colleges, in the emergency workers, in the health office, for all different emergency workers in the university and colleges. This is their distribution plan. I am relieved because I did not have to think about the distribution now, because the university emergency is looking after that. And they said even they will be making it available to the hospital or even other emergency people who need it.
That's really great that, you know, the excess and sanitizer could be made available to those people in emergency services, because they are the people that are at the front line currently, and they're the ones that really need it. Now, I believe you were researching other ways to combat the virus. You're researching a development of an inhaler to help with this disease. Do you plan to continue researching this further?
Sure. This is my plan. In fact, As I mentioned earlier, this COVID virus enter through respiratory tract, what we call by inhalation, right? So drugs or vaccine delivery through inhalation is arguably the best way of delivery, drug delivery for this disease. And I have got over 15 years experience so far on working in inhalation delivery. I did my PhD and then I worked for 5 years at Monash University's pharmacy faculty, which is the number two pharmacy faculty in the world. So when I came to Otago, I established in the last 7 years, I established my lab and in a full set. So I am now in a position to contribute that. And what I realized that in last 3 weeks, two companies, one local company, one international company, signed the confidentiality agreement with the university to get my help on their inhaler development for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to continue. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited that, and I feel fortunate that I can help, or my expertise is useful now in this pandemic. I want to continue. I want to do more in future, whatever I can do.
Oh,
I want to continue.
I really hope you do, and I hope as well, Professor, that you find some time to look after yourself, of course.
Yes, I'm at home now. Since then, I'm at home. I gave my telephone number and all contact to the university services. I offered them, if they need any more in future, if they need any more my help or my service, if it is allowable through emergency service, they think that, if they need, I will be a part of their emergency team so I can help them. If they need, they can manage, I said, if manage all the raw materials and then manage, if it is allowable to go to prepare for them, I'm happy to help them.
The work you're doing is just amazing. It's outstanding, Professor, and I thought that was a really touching point to leave on. However, I do have one last question. It's just around further community-led solutions. The government yesterday, they announced $4.8 million towards community-led solutions to help support resilience in the community. So what would you like to see coming from non-governmental organizations to better prepare us through this crisis?
I said to you previously, I was brought up in Bangladesh. Lot of natural disasters we faced. In my first 30 years in Bangladesh, I have seen during the disaster, not only government, all people come out to help in all possible ways they can, right? Both through government and through the help of the community, we try to overcome the problem. Now here, for COVID, we need to remember this is a different case. We need to remember what the Prime Minister says, that we need to maintain now physical distance. Now we need to be at home. That's our role now. We need to be at home. And I think that is the best measure at this moment. I agree with that. We need to be at home. And then we need to maintain our hygiene, natural hygiene. For that, in some cases, if we need this sort of cheap and easily preparable these formulations, we need to do this at home, or we need to do by non-government organizations who are allowed to do, they can come forward and help. Because disaster is for everyone. Only the government is doing whatever the government is doing. Excellent job. Government is doing excellent.
A fantastic job. I've got to take my hat off.
Yeah, fantastic job. And at the same time, if there is an opportunity, the non-government people or organizations can also help in this way.
Yeah, but I think as people, we've all got to do our part. You're absolutely right. We have to stay home. We have to stay hygienic. Professor, thank you very much for speaking to me this morning. I've really appreciated it. It's been a fantastic chat and some fantastic insight into what you're doing. This is really something very amazing. And once again, I commend you for your efforts. And I hope you keep safe and hope you keep well during this very, very strange time. But once again, a time that I'm sure as New Zealanders we'll get through this.
Thank you. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you very much.
I feel fortunate to do something at this time, and I want to do more in future if whatever I can do for the community, because we are human. We are human. We want to help. If we cannot help in humanitarian crisis, in this sort of crisis, then I don't find any value of my life. Thank you. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.